It's a cold, misty day here in Southern California, and I hardly recognize the familiar lake that I frequently visit because it's covered in a blanket of mist, which reminds me of a dream where one can barely see through the darkness, yet I keep walking unafraid because I've been here before and know that despite the darkness, I'm still moving along on the right path. While it may be true that life, it seems, will fade away, and nothing is permanent, I feel that we're all born with a purpose to serve others in our own unique way, while we are able. I believe that one should freely share what wisdom he has, one should patiently help others to educate themselves, and one should keep going no matter how heavy the present storm, for there's always a calm ahead. My greatest passion is to help others to awaken to a greater truth about themselves, not just in a historic and anthropological context, but in a spiritual one, and count it as my greatest pleasure in life to see a person free himself of the cold, misty shadows which darken his perceptions. These foggy shadows look so thick sometimes and can be so confusing, so that when one finds they're merely cloudy shadows and learns to see through them, walk through them, and be again in the sun, confusion is replaced by purpose. And it's then when I myself feel most content. As far back as recorded history, mankind's greatest philosophers, gurus, and sages have been engaged upon a search. Almost all of the greatest thinkers in the past ages have contributed their opinion and considerations to it. No scientist or religious leader has failed to comment upon it. Billions of people from all nationalities, ideologies, and races have died for one opinion or another on the subject of this search, and no civilization, mighty or meager, in ancient or in modern times, has endured without battle on its account. The enigma of the human soul, to the civilized and primitive alike, have been an endless source of interest and attention. For the majority of man's history, it was religion that has carried the search throughout the millennia. While many organized religions seem to have fallen short in this quest, science has also missed the mark, pushing its own ideology, which, until recently, has denied the possibility of a soul entirely. It seems that now, however, in our lifetime, science and spirituality have crossed paths and have jointly taken steps to shed light where before there was mostly a dark mist.
So what happens when we die? It's a question that humanity has wrestled with throughout history. But a new study conducted by NYU may have found some answers. Dr. Sam Parnia is the director of critical care and resuscitation research at NYU Langone School of Medicine, where he ran this study. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Parnia.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What would you say? What actually happens when you're clinically dead?
You know, when people die, essentially it's when the heart stops. So this has been going on for, as far as we know, millennia, not longer. And when the heart stops, you stop breathing and your brain shuts down, and that's how we declare people dead. And that's why we give a time of death and we give them a note. And really, to be honest with you, until about 50 years ago, that was the point of death. So people become lifeless, motionless, the brain shuts down. But now through advances in medicine, we can actually bring people back to life even after they've gone beyond that threshold of death and study what happens to them. And one of the interesting things, of course, is that the brain completely shuts down, as I said. But what's fascinating is that the cells inside the body, and particularly the cells inside the brain, do not suddenly become annihilated. They go through a process of decay that can take a few hours, which is why we can actually medically bring people back to life after they have technically gone beyond that threshold of death for tens of minutes, if not hours of time afterwards. And that, of course, raises many interesting questions about what happens when we die.
So tell me more about this study. How did you conduct it? And tell me about, you know, how you came about reaching your findings, your conclusion.
You know, I'm an intensive care doctor, so my job is to essentially save people's lives and prevent them from dying. But unfortunately, people do die, and we try to revive them. What we have found is that over the last few decades, many millions of people have now come back, and many of them have reported, actually, anecdotally, that they've been able to see and hear things going on, even though from our perspective, they should have been dead and their brain should not be functioning at all. And so we became intrigued to study this, one, because it was fascinating, and two, because we try to revive people without brain damage and to ensure they don't have any disorders of consciousness, so not becoming like brain damaged or having a vegetative state. At any rate, so this particular study is the largest study ever carried out in the world. It was done at 15 medical centers across the US and in Europe. And we studied more than 2,000 people who'd gone through this cardiac arrest or process of death. And we did not expect people to have any consciousness or awareness. Mm-hmm. But intriguingly, up to 40% of people came back and had had a perception of being aware of what was happening to them, even though they had technically gone beyond the threshold of death.
Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a lot to it. I should also add that among that group, 10% had a very deep, profound mystical experience that was very true to them. But interestingly, 2% actually had full awareness, could describe all the events that were going on that were validated. So, of course, the question is, why does that happen? And we don't have the answers, because to our scientific model, when people have died, there should be no more conscious awareness going on. But it sounds like maybe consciousness is able to continue. And by that, I don't mean that they're awake, but that entity that makes us who we are, makes Sam who he is, makes Rena who she is, the self, the mind, seems to continue and doesn't become annihilated after a person has gone through their process of death.
Were there any of the people that you studied that completely lost all consciousness?
Well, that's what I was trying to explain. Yeah. Everybody loses consciousness immediately as soon as the heart stops. It's not like they're awake and watching us.
But you mentioned that there were some people who remembered there was some sort of mystical experience that they were going
right.
through. Were there some people who said, nope, didn't feel anything, didn't?
So some people don't have any recollections. Mm-hmm. What we don't know is whether they had experiences and forgot it afterwards, and that may be what's happening. Because, of course, we forget a lot of things. And most of the people who are brought back have issues to do with their treatments. We give them sedative drugs, which wipes out their memories. So that's part of what we're studying now is, does everybody have this experience? And how long does mind and consciousness continue in some format, even though we've gone beyond the threshold of death?
Do you have some sort of conclusion as to how far the mind and consciousness goes?
Again, from what we can determine, which is actually fascinating, and it raises questions about our whole science, about what happens when we die, is that it appears that even though people have gone beyond that threshold of death and their brain has shut down, that entity that we call consciousness, the mind, the psyche, whatever you want to call it, does not seem to become annihilated. From the evidence we have, that at least tens of minutes, if not hours of time afterwards, how long beyond that, we don't know at this point.
For the folks who have lost consciousness and come back, have there been any long-term effects afterwards?
Well, those people who have these very deep, profound, mystical experiences, often they describe a sensation of being very peaceful, seeing a bright, warm, welcoming light, sometimes deceased relatives. And intriguingly, some of them describe a sensation of a being that they describe as being perfect and full of light and love and compassion. Those who have that experience are often very positively transformed for the rest of their lives. It's very profound.
Really?
It's real to them. They become less afraid of death. They lose their fear of death completely. They engage in altruism. They're more helpful to people. They engage more with family. It completely changes them. So there's something very profound about this experience that they have.
We often hear people say, I saw the light, some sort of light. Why do you think it is that some people see that and some people don't?
Well, so there are two possibilities. One is that, as you said, only some people see it, and we think that, you know, it might be 10%. But the alternative is that everyone sees it, But unfortunately, because of the medical treatments that they get afterwards in the intensive care unit by doctors such as myself to save their brain, they forget it. And one of our new studies is trying to actually decipher whether people have had it but just forgotten about it. Mm. And so I think there is some evidence that more people are having it, but unfortunately they just forget it afterwards.
It's a fascinating study and a fascinating look into death and those final moments as well and returning back. Dr. Samparnia, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Us.
Pleasure to be here.
According to the esoteric alchemical wisdom of the ancients, as well as the most cutting-edge quantum theory, everything in creation is the same energy in different states of being. Just like how water, ice, and fog are the same substance in different states of being, so it is that everything that exists is the same energy vibrating at a different frequency and therefore in a different state of being. That said, it appears that energy is also consciousness at various levels of awareness.
It turns out there is a scientific revolution going on now about the mind-brain discussion, the relationship between the two, that is extraordinary. And I think it's going to lead to a complete shift in our worldview that is unprecedented. And this living in a mindful universe is really about that scientific revolution.
Are you discounting whether the brain controls consciousness?
No, I think what we would say is the brain is a reducing valve or filter that allows primordial consciousness in. That is, the brain is not the creator of it. You cannot explain all of the details of human experience, especially all the evidence for non-local consciousness, the evidence for things like reincarnation, past life memories in children, indicative of reincarnation, things like that, if you think the brain is the producer of consciousness.
So what is the producer?
Well, consciousness is what exists and generates the entire universe. It's the fundamental ground state.
So this is my consciousness now, right?
It's all consciousness. It's all generated within consciousness. I mean, the thing to remember is we're under, we discuss in this in the book, what we call the supreme illusion, and that is that the brain and mind are very good at convincing us that all this stuff around us is out there. But what you're actually experiencing is a model deep within mind that is supposed to represent something that is out there. But I think that's where it's important to point out the mystery of quantum physics, because the experiments in quantum physics keep showing us in no uncertain terms that consciousness is fundamental, that it the conscious observer and our free will has everything to do with determining outcomes. It's not determined by mechanistic chemical reactions and the laws of physics and chemistry applied to the brain.
Doesn't it almost destroy everything you learned?
Absolutely not. In fact, it opens the door to a far broader understanding. Because what we're saying is the brain is simply a reducing valve that allows certain conscious states to exist. And this is where, from the quantum physical standpoint, it's really getting at what's known as the observer. That is the deep mystery, is the awareness of existence. And what I would submit is that we're conscious in spite of our brain. And so, in fact, the big surprise and kind of the practical lesson for human beings is that when your physical brain and body die, your conscious awareness actually expands tremendously.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you could do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments. So please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to